Welcome to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. You can find us on the web at lifechurchboston.org. God's Word is taking off from where you are right now and rising to build you up on the way to your destiny. Let's climb on board. Praise the Lord. Welcome to Sunday, August 16th. Another Sunday at Life Church. Please take advantage of the QR code. It'll be helpful to link to the notes, which we will be using during Life Group. And remember, you can always send questions to questions@lifechurchboston.org. We are continuing with John chapter 6. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time to gather together with your people and to fellowship, to worship, to give, and Lord, to hear your word. I ask you to anoint me to declare your word faithfully and help us together to hear it, receive it, understand it, and put it into practice. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, you've seen this before. We've talked about Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 43. It describes what the early church did right after Peter's Pentecost sermon, when 3,000 men and probably a comparable number of women and children made the decision to follow Jesus and got baptized. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And that's a useful model for us to follow. I want to remind you that the apostles' teaching is really the Gospels, first and foremost. When I say the apostles' teaching, maybe thinking about the epistles, the letters. Epistle is just a word that means letter. In fact, epistle and apostle are related words, because an apostle is someone who is sent, and an epistle is a letter that is sent. But the apostles' teaching was stories about life with Jesus. Even I had a chance to have lunch with Bishop Thompson and Pastor Yvonne yesterday. It's a great time, and reminiscing about things and talking about what's going on with them and their grand. They've got 31 grandchildren. But in any event, and then talking about remembering things that Bishop taught me years ago and things he said and did and what have you. And so we had a great time. And I remembered what I got to share at his recent 80th birthday party, when they gave me a chance to, even I, a chance to come up and share about what Bishop had meant to us. We were sort of, I guess, representing the spiritual sons that moment, because it was Courtney. He shared a video, and Courtney McBath, Bishop Courtney McBath, and then we were up, and then it was on to other presenters from other categories. But one of the things I talked about, and you've heard me mention, is the fact that he answered my questions. And I did not grow up in church, and it has occurred to me, it occurs to me again and again, that these are parts of my testimony that are important for me to emphasize. And I say that because I encounter people who have issues with the Bible, with Scripture, with church, and oftentimes they refer back to, well, you know, in Sunday school they taught me this, but now that I'm, you know, an adult, I realize blah 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 blah, and I realize that, you know, I have a certain advantage in the fact that I didn't grow up in church, so. There are people who may complain about how they felt that their Sunday school education misled them or didn't deal with substantive issues or so on, but that wasn't my issue. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't have any, inadequate and well, there was no indoctrination. I wouldn't, I did not grow up saved. But I got saved as an adult. And so that's a part of my testimony that I can emphasize that is meaningful to some of the people that God puts me in touch with. And when I did get saved, as you know, I wasn't initially going to go to church because my mother told me churches were full of hypocrites. But when I did go 2 weeks later for Easter, I met a man, Bishop Thompson. He was Pastor Thompson then, who answered my questions. And so many people don't have the experience of having their questions answered. They are made to feel silly for not knowing certain things. But Bishop Thompson never made me feel silly for the stuff I didn't know. He gave me books to read. He sat down and explained things to me, and just created a really safe environment. And as you know, I've said that we want Life Church to be that kind of a safe environment where people can ask questions. Now, lately, I'm becoming more aware of the fact that even though you want to establish an environment, even though you say, hey, this is a place where people can ask questions, we want people to feel that they can that they can ask a question or come to you with something they're struggling with, I realize that there are a lot of people who just won't ask a question, even though you have declared you want to provide safe space, you want to be a safe person. And I'm seeing that among sort of the next generation. I see people post things where they've been wrestling with issues or struggling with something, and it's like, well, you never came to me to ask me about this, but you've decided to put an opinion or something out there, out on the internet that, now that didn't. And so it's something that I want us to be mindful of. We want to be safe space. We want to emphasize. We want people to know, I'm part of a fellowship where you can ask questions. Where if something is confusing or if you don't understand something, you can ask questions and get answers. But it's also important to recognize that there are people who, even though that's your position, that's how you feel, there's a lot of questions out there that just don't get asked. And so we need to be prayerful about the unasked questions, the people in our lives who have questions, things they don't understand, but they won't ask the question. They won't ask. They don't understand it, but they're not going to raise the issue. And so I want to encourage us to be prayerful. There's a lot of unasked questions out there. And if they asked you, you'd help them, but they don't ask. So keep that in mind because there's work to be done. There's a lot of ignorance out there. And it's holding people back from the way God wants to bless them. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching in John 8, 31 and 32, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Right. But if you don't take the time to know the truth, you don't experience the freedom. There's freedom out there for people that are in our spheres of influence, but if they don't ask the question, if they don't take the time to hear the truth, they don't know the wonderful, amazing life that God has for them, the things God wants to do in their lives, the way that He wants to heal them, comfort them, strengthen them, open their eyes, calm their fears. God doesn't want them walking around in fear. He doesn't want them walking around in bondage. But they've got to open up to the opportunities for truth that are there. And we are a link. We may be the only Jesus, the only Bible they read initially. And so be mindful of that. There are people around you. Ask the Lord, Lord, are there questions that the people I know aren't asking? Are there questions they have that I could get them an answer? Even if you don't know the answer, you can say, hey, I don't know the answer off the top of my head, but I'll find out and get back to you. Ask the Lord to show you who are the people in my life that have questions that they're not asking? Questions for which they desperately need answers, but they're not asking. Amen. Amen. Well, want to keep in mind cultural rivers when we're reading the Bible. We're eavesdropping on a conversation that God had with someone else, and so we have to be sensitive to their expressions, their culture, their way of their language, etc. I've told you all the story about how this was. Some of you will remember this, but this was many years ago. I remember sharing something about LBJ. And everybody my age and older understood that I was talking about Lyndon Baines Johnson, who had been vice president and then president of the United States. But all the younger people immediately thought LeBron James. It just never occurred to me. But yeah, it makes sense, right? LeBron James, Lyndon Baines Johnson, both LBJ. And it never occurred to me that those initials would trigger LeBron James for folks, but it sure did. For a whole segment of my audience, and so that I was enlightened. They had their cultural river, I had mine. And of course, when you're dealing with the Bible, you're dealing with not just a cultural river, recent cultural rivers. You're dealing with ways of looking at things and understanding things that are ancient. And so we have to understand, as we're reading the scriptures, we have to ask, what would have this meant to them? Okay, I'm going to go over this. We're going to be in John chapter 6, verses 16 through 24. We want to remember that John was written so that people would believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, people would have life in his name. We want to embrace Jesus' mission, and we want to be worded up. We're reminding people to read a gospel every month, a chapter a day. The Gospel of John is for August, and then we're back to Matthew in September, Mark in October, Luke in November, and John again in December. And because this is August 16th, you'd be reading John chapter 16 today and John chapter 17 tomorrow. You want to feed on the life of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay. I'm not going to watch this. We're not going to watch this video again, but we're going to remember that a disciple is someone who is following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and committed to the mission of Jesus. Okay, it is possible to follow Jesus in at least a technical sense. That is, you read the Bible, you start doing the things that you see in it. But if you don't engage fully, you may not experience actual change. Okay? And so you have to engage the Bible with an openness that God wants to change me, and God's going to provide opportunities for me to do things differently. And God knows the pace at which you can handle change, and He knows He has His own plan for what to change when. When people get saved, everybody doesn't change in the same way or at the same pace. But based on your past experiences, what your current issues and burdens are, God may cause one thing to just change instantaneously. There are plenty of people who have testimonies about having instantly changed something in their life that was a struggle and it just went away. But others have a testimony that it didn't drop right away. It took years for them to get over a thing. And for some people, one thing changes right away and another thing takes a while. As long as you're on the path, as long as you're following Jesus and wrestling and engaging with his word, Right? So you're following him, but you're being changed by Jesus. But then you're committed to not just being an audience. It's so important. Modern church culture conditions us to be an audience, but a disciple is someone who is committed to the mission of Jesus. Amen? Amen. And we want to establish a disciple-making community. All right, we're going to rewatch this video that we saw last time, and it's on inductive Bible study, so I'm going to play it, and we need to set the sound appropriately. In this video, the speaker does mention, you know, not even thinking about an accordance or a lexicon or what have you. And as Michael pointed out, those things are still useful even when you're just trying to observe the text. So take that with a little grain of salt. But otherwise, I think this is an important video because we're going to engage with the text, and we want to use our observation skills before we try to interpret or apply. We want to get really good at observing the text. Amen.
At this point in our presentation, we played some material which is protected by copyright. Because we do not have a license to distribute this material, we have omitted it from our recording. In most cases, when this happens, you can find a link to the omitted material in our online sermon notes.
So I'm going to ask Eva to unmute and read for us.
This is John chapter 6, verses 16 through 24. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you. So, you know, these are the points. It's after it's the evening after the feeding of the 5,000. They get in the boat to cross the sea. It's a strong wind. The waters are rough. And they see Jesus approaching the boat, walking on water, and the disciples are afraid, but Jesus reassures them, and they take him in the boat. And next day, the crowd heads across the lake looking for Jesus. John's gospel does not mention Peter's experience walking on the water to Jesus, okay? And all of this takes place after the feeding of the 5,000, which takes place after the execution of John the Baptist and the return of the disciples from their apostolic missions, in which Jesus told them to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons. So as we're, you know, engaging with the text, they've already been through these sets of experiences. Amen? All right, now I'm going to ask you to read the Matthew passage.
This is Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God."
Amen. Note they worshipped him. And Jesus didn't say, "Stop, don't do that. Only worship God." Right? Perfect opportunity to don't worship me. Just worship God. He doesn't do that, right? Something to think about. I should have included that in these observations. Matthew's gospel includes Peter's experience of walking on the water to Jesus. Okay, let's read the Mark passage.
This is Mark chapter 6, verses 47 through 51. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed.
Amen. Thank you. So three different accounts. It's not mentioned in Luke. Mark reports that Jesus initially saw the disciples out on the lake straining at the oars. Okay. And note there are differences between the three gospel accounts of Jesus walking on the water. And based on Matthew, Mark, and John, this takes place after Jesus feeds the 5,000. It's not covered in Luke. Based on Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Herod had previously executed John the Baptist. And based on Mark and Luke, the disciples had previously returned from their missionary trips. So what we're going to do, we're going to gather. And so let's gather around for life group. We're going to work as a team to harmonize the gospel accounts of Jesus walking on the water and identify what the Lord is saying to you in this passage and pray for one another appropriately. So let's gather. Don't be shy.
You've been listening to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. We hope you've enjoyed your flight. As we prepare to land, please leave the belt of truth buckled around your waist and keep your life in an upright position. If you would like to support this program, or if you simply want more information about Life Church, please visit our website at lifechurchboston.org. As you go on with your day, please remember, Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. Please put what you've just heard into practice in your own life, then teach it to others and watch God's kingdom take off around you.